All right, take your Bibles. Let's go to Joshua chapter 5, if you will. Joshua chapter 5, we're talking about claiming our eternal inheritance in the book theme of the book of Joshua. And we finished chapter 4. We see the Israelites rejoicing over what God had done crossing the river. They set up two sets of stones, 12 in the middle of the river, 12 on the other side, a place called Gilgal, where they camped. And they were witnesses to God, the God that God honors faith and works on behalf of those who honor him. God does that. If we honor him, I believe he'll work on our behalf. And now we come to chapter 5, and we're going to begin to look at verses 1 through 15. Tonight we'll probably look at verses 1 through 8. We come to this section. We see Joshua preparing the people for the battle of Jericho. And, you know, one might think after they just seen what they've seen in the crossing the Jordan that they were gung-ho. They were ready to go. They were to keep this thing moving here. They had seen the great miracle of the Lord, and they were on a spiritual high. And they realized that the enemy was paralyzed by fear. That's what Rahab's report was to Joshua. They're afraid of y'all. They've heard about your God and what all he's doing here. And they're paralyzed by fear. It was their city for the taking. But there was one important thing. God, it's not time yet. God knew that they had to be prepared. The events of chapter 5 take at least 10 days, and then they marched around Jericho for 6 more days, and God waited 16 days before giving them their first victory in the land. Why was that? Well, God's people needed to be prepared spiritually before the presence and blessing of the Lord. Secondly, I believe also the victory was not by the capability of the Israelite army or the fear of those in Jericho, but it was by God and God alone. He would give the victory. So there were 3 steps I see here in preparation for necessary before God would give his people the victory. And we're going to look at the first one tonight. You see the outline in your bulletin. The first one is to renew the Lord's covenant in chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. And we're going to begin to look at that tonight. Let's look, first of all, at our text. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, and then we'll go from there with one more verse in verse 8 tonight. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites that were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was there any spirit in them anymore. You know, they lost their fighting spirit because of the children of Israel. Now let's begin in verse 2 through 7, and we're going to look at why the Lord commanded the Israelites to get back to the ritual of circumcision. Okay, so this is important now. We'll make a point here about this. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Remember they did that when they left out of Egypt? And then because of their disobedience, those that were disobedient, all but Caleb and Joshua perished in the wilderness. And he says, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him a sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, and after they came out of Egypt. Remember all those, I think it was 20 below, and all those that refused to go in there at Kadesh Barnea, they died and perished in the wilderness. Now, verse 5, now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them had not been circumcised. So you had probably thousands of people that needed to be circumcised. Verse 6, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto his fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. Remember, Caleb and Joshua came back with a positive report. The other spies didn't. And so out of fear, they shrank back, but they perished in the wilderness because of it, because they didn't go forward in walking in faith, right? And then read verse 8. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp there at Gilgal till they were whole. Now, what we see in this text is, I want to share with you probably tonight and next week, probably about five reasons why God wanted them to be circumcised. Well, Israel was a covenant nation. No other nation is given that title. No other nation. America is not a covenant nation with God. Only the nation of Israel. We can't apply the things of Israel to America. We are, right now, we're a wayward nation that has lost our way. We have rejected God, and we're under the judgment of God. And that's the cycle that God goes through. We are not God's chosen people. Now, we are God's chosen people, but America is not God's chosen people. Can I get an amen? We are not a covenant nation. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5 says, Who are the Israelites, but to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all? God blessed forever. Amen. So God gave his covenant to Abraham. Remember when he left Ur of Chaldees and to his descendants? A sign of this was circumcision. And the Jews thought if they were of Abraham's seed, they'd been circumcised, that they were going to heaven. But the Bible tells us later that they had to come to faith in Christ, right? Now, they were under, what does that mean to be a sign of circumcision? What does that mean? Well, they were under obligation to serve and obey God. Let me go ahead and tell you, the sign of our spiritual circumcision, not fleshly circumcision, the sign of our spiritual circumcision is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. He sealed us into the day of redemption. But they were under obligation to serve and obey God. Number two, their bodies belong to God and not to be used for sinful purposes. And we're taught that in the New Testament, right? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are bought with a price. We are to use our bodies for the kingdom. We're to use our talents. We're to use our gifts for the kingdom, right? And then number three, they were a special people, a separated people, a holy nation. They were to be pure. And all of God's laws, he was teaching the nation of Israel to be pure and be devoted to me. And don't mingle with the other bunch. Don't mingle with the heathens and all those. And don't be contaminated by them. And we can give illustration and illustration of that. But they had not practiced circumcision while they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Now God's going to renew that covenant with them. They refused to believe God and entered the land at Kadesh Barnea. God disciplined them by making them wander in the wilderness until the entire generation died off, except Caleb and Joshua. What would want to take a few days took 40 years because of their disobedience. God suspended his covenant and circumcision during their wandering. A new generation had come up, and they had crossed the Jordan River. Now it was time to do a second circumcision of all these new people here, and to put them under the covenant, a sign of the covenant, because they would be surrounded by pagan people. They would be surrounded by heathens, by immoral people. They would be tempted to compromise with their enemies, right? And that's what we are, folks. We're a colony of heaven on earth that God has placed here for a season and for a time until he builds his church. And we're not to partake in the deeds of the pagans, right? And you cannot mingle with the pagans without being burned, right? Can I get an amen there? You will get burned. But God would give them this sign here. And they, as it turned out, they did exactly that. They forgot the true meaning of circumcision. That's exactly what has happened. I believe just like they forgot the true meaning of circumcision, the church over the years has losing the doctrine that God has given us. They're compromising the doctrine all over the place, and they're compromising on true biblical ministry and biblical practice and how we conduct ourselves as a believers, as church. And let me give you a for instance. After a while, baptism by immersion would come so familiar to us that after a while, if you get the wrong influences in the church, next thing you know, you'll have a leadership that says, well, there's no need to be baptized. Just come on in and join us, right? Then they lose the meaning of baptism, right? And this is happening to the church all over with all kind of doctrines, right? Even with leadership, with the elders, the pastors, and how you do church is being lost because why? We have lost and gotten away from the inerrant word that was given to us by God. So we have the same thing happening today. Now, you need to understand this. Physical operation on the body was meant to be a symbol of a spiritual operation of the heart. We have spiritual circumcision, spiritual heart that God has given us, all right, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. No surgery can change a person's heart, right? But it was a sign. They were to later come to Christ. It was to point them to Jesus Christ. And only God changes the heart. We can't reform anybody. We can't change anybody. I can't save anybody. I can lead them to the feed trough, but they have to eat on their own. I can do this. I can share this. I can share that. But I cannot quicken their heart. Only God can do that, right? And I really get upset when I hear other preachers talk about how many people they won to the Lord. I just want to know what their secret is, because I ain't won nobody to the Lord. I lead them to the Lord, but it's God who saves them, right? So, and the same thing's happening today. Many people that think they're saved, they're going to heaven. They're a member of a New Testament church. Even a Bible-believing church, they're a member of a Bible-believing church. They're baptized. They're confirmed if you're in the Catholic Church. And they participate in communion, and they think that the seven sacraments are infusing grace into their life and keeping them saved. And I attend, and I come to everything that the church offers. But if you don't repent of your sins and place your faith in Christ, you're on your way to hell. It's through the indwelling Spirit of God that comes in us that transforms us and makes us more like Christ. It's not an outward show of obedience. It is an inner transformation of the heart is why we go to heaven. So the first reason why God told Joshua to circumcise the people is to show that they belong to the true and the living God, right? Secondly, we're going to look at verse 8, to test their faith. And that God does the same thing with us. He tests our faith. He purges us. He prunes us. He perfects us more like Him. And how does that happen? It's through suffering. Suffering is a great tool of God to bring us to Christ and to bring us more like Christ, right? Suffering. But the church today runs from it, right? And the church in Canada knows what I'm talking about tonight. They're suffering. They have come after the church. They're locking up the pastors for preaching the gospel and the fact that a homosexual can repent and be healed spiritually. And they're locking them up, right? I heard today about in Finland, they're locking up people if they share the gospel, if they get outside of the church. They say it's okay to believe that, but don't preach it, right? And then they're locking them up everywhere. And guess what? It's coming to America. We can be fat and lazy, and we can be ignore it. We can put our heads in the sand, but it's coming to America, right? And are we going to be willing to suffer? If we're afraid of COVID, we're going to be much more afraid of persecution when it comes. And here they are. Look in verse 8. It says, and it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. They were whole. They had to heal, right? Now, let's look at that to test their faith. They camped, they were only about a few miles from Jericho. And after circumcising all the males, they all needed time to heal. It took faith for Joshua to camp his people during this time that they could have been attacked or whatever. But it pleased God, their obedience. He says, go by the riverside there in Gilgal and camp, if you will, until you're all healed, right? And their obedience to God gave evidence that they would march further from there on by faith and through the land and go through all the enemies and conquer all the Amorites and Hittites and the Perizzites. And I told you before, this is why Canaan land is not a picture of heaven, because we don't have any battles when we get to heaven, right? We're going to be free from all sin. Somebody shout hallelujah, amen? And we're going to be free from all sin when we get to heaven. And nobody else is going to be a sinner, right? There's going to be a lot of people that are used to sinning. They ain't going to be in heaven, right, when we get there. So it's going to be a wonderful place here. But they obeyed God. They gave evidence by obedience there where they camped until they were all healed. And they passed the test. So God allows us to be tested, to prove and strengthen our faith. Again, to prune us. We need pruning to grow, right? And through this last freeze, Linda, that little pretty bush you got over there in the corner by the drainage pipe coming off the ice machine, I don't know if it's had it or not, but maybe it just needs pruning, right? So I'm going to ask you to do it because nobody else will, right? So you prune that, okay? And so we'll see. It's going to be an experiment. Prune it, you know, and see if it comes back. That's a biblical truth, but it don't come back, it's dead. So either way, it's a biblical truth, right? So here they obeyed. God allows them to be prove their faith and strengthen their faith. The only way you're going to grow in your faith is for it to be stretched. You got to be tested, right? And he sends trials and tribulations in our life, and we wonder why. Why, God? Why? You know? Why? You know, we are not exempt from suffering. And mainly I'm talking about suffering for righteousness. I'm talking about suffering for sharing the gospel, right? Some of us won't have to worry about that, right? But the best way not to come under persecution is don't do nothing, right? But those who penetrate darkness, God is going to prune, and he's going to purge, and he's going to make them more like Christ. And that's the only way we can, right? We think about suffering and death not being our friend. I want to tell you something, folks. You can't go to heaven without dying unless the Lord comes first, right? And he can come in any moment here. Absent from the body, somebody tell me. Present with the Lord. How much time is there between absent from the body and present with the Lord? Immediately, right? And I got a little beef. I got to get it off my chest. I'm tired of telling people, how you doing, man? How you doing, all right, guy? I ain't seen you in a while. Oh, I'm above the grass. I'm doing great, you know. I'm not 6 feet under, right? And then I really throw a monkey wrench in them, and I say, well, I wish I was in heaven, you know. Heaven, you know. Hey, it's not time to go. Everybody wants to go there, but nobody wants to die to get there, right? And so, you know, we don't have this. We need to get this mindset of the early church, spiritual mindset, that if we're going to share the gospel and we're going to speak up for righteousness and abortion and homosexuality and the world biblical view rather than a world view, then we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be good. And what do? Thank you, God, that I am worthy to identify with your sufferings in Christ, right? But they were obedient, and God allows us, too, to be dependent on him. Now, you know, hasn't happened to you when you suffer and things happen in your life? You depend more on God, don't you then, right? Right? Before it. And then that way, Paul said in Corinthians that he manifests his glory and his power in your weakness, right? And I have, over the years, and the pastor had heard people testify when they were going through hard times, I really felt the presence of God, you know? And you know, really, that's when you really draw close to him, when you depend upon him. Now, next week, we're going to pick up, and we're going to look at three more reasons why Joshua circumcised the people before we move on to remember the Lord's goodness and reaffirm the Lord's presence. We're going to look at next Sunday night, why did he want them circumcised? Well, number three, to remove their shame, to remove their reproach. From 40 years earlier when they disobeyed God, he was going to remove that approach upon his people. And then number four, to eat the Passover meal. To eat the Passover meal. Let me make that relevant today. People who are not believers, who have not identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they may be a church member, but if they never really identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they're not supposed to take of the Lord's Supper. Because who said amen? Amen. Thank you, sister. Because they're not in the kingdom, right? I mean, we don't put up a sign and say, we're doing the Lord's Supper Sunday night. Everybody's welcome, you know? That's why, let me give you a key. You may not know this, but that's why a lot of pastors do the Lord's Supper on Sunday night, because only the real believers are there, right? I'm talking about visitors and all that. They're not going to come back on Sunday night, no matter how much they tell me walking out the door. That was the best sermon I ever heard. I'll see you tonight. You know, and I don't know where they're at. Even our corrupt judicial system can't track them down, you know. Nobody knows where they're at. So unless you identify with Christ in the baptismal waters, unless you identify with him by the new birth, dying to the old man, being raised to walk in the newest life, you can't partake in the Passover, or to us, to be the Lord's Supper. And then we're going to look at some pictures of some important truths of what their circumcision speaks to, okay? And we'll begin there next Sunday night. We may even get into the second point, remembering the Lord's goodness. But I found out through Joshua, Brother Ray, you might understand this, but when you're in the Old Testament, you have to go a more lengthy scripture to get the points you want to get out, right? And so this is what we're doing, okay? No invitation tonight. Let's just bow our heads. Father,